Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Wednesday, October 11th, 2017. We're in the middle of the week. It's Relationship Wednesday, and right when I thought I saw everything, I learned something new. I can't believe how resourceful we are in different situations. And I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how quick we are, how good we are, especially when there's a sense of adversity coming at us. We do go into a fight or flight feeling. We do want to, you know, win the argument, or at least not be wrong, or at least not be caught, or whatever it is that's going on in a relationship, especially newer relationships where they're still establishing how they're going to communicate when there's adversity, when there's something there that you have to talk about, and you're like, oh, I don't want to talk about that. But you have to. Or they do something that really is off, and you know that it's off, and you don't even know how to begin to say something, and you don't want to hurt the other person's feelings, even though they're the ones who did it. You may have found out from them. You may have found out from someone else, their kids, their coworkers, their friends. Or people might just innocently say something that you know isn't okay. And here you are. How do you face this adversity in your relationship with love when you're really upset? Because that's when we, you know, all no holds barred. We just go for it. But there's ways to do things. And a lot of times, and I'm learning this as we speak, because I'm dealing with this in a situation of a couple, and I'm amazed at how not only clever, but innate some behaviors are. And we're all kind of learning this together as we're pointing it out along the way as, did you notice that? And it's become like this whole new learning tree of how do you get your bearings straight when they just flew off the handle. When you are facing a situation in a relationship, one of the first things you can ask yourself, and when you start to ask yourself questions, you'll start to kind of calm down and catch a glimpse of yourself doing what you're doing. And then your anger starts to dissipate a little bit, and you start to reason within your own mind. And that's when you can help yourself and hopefully reach and help the person you're with. There's some people that fight so hard for the lie that they would rather lose the relationship than admit that they lied or that they did something that wasn't okay. They will avoid blame at all costs. And you're left holding the bag because you didn't want to blame. You wanted to solve. So now there's two different goals going on. One is trying to evade like a little kid, you know. Wait, you didn't see that. Yes, you did. No, you didn't. Oh, yes, I did. Oh, wait a minute. And you go back and forth. And now you're arguing about what you saw rather than the issue, or what you heard, or what was said, rather than the issue. And when you can't separate the issue from the couple, the issue becomes the couple, because they're going to have that issue over and over and over and yet over again until the one who keeps finding the stuff gets exhausted and realizes that they cannot solve anything together as a couple. But if the other person can just say, hey, you know what? I'm really going to be conscious of the fact that I'm doing stuff that's hurting us. And the stuff that I did that hurt us, I did do because I didn't want you to know. And I did do because it gives me more control and it feeds my insecurity to feel like I'm still my own person even though I'm with someone. Because what I found is that the person who can't admit in life their own actions to others already will not admit to themselves. They kind of do this trick, double trick. They'll do what they do, but they'll say that they didn't actually do it, whatever it is. And then the other person's left now to prove it, which is a lot of work, and keep continuously asking questions, which is also a lot of work. And you can't do that on every situation. There goes your whole life. So when you ask questions, and how do you realize, and how do you know you're dealing with a situation like this? Because I realized after seeing it to this extreme that a lot of times this happens, especially in the beginning, the first year, the first 2 years, you're with somebody, you're learning them, and these situations don't all come at once. They'll come once in a while, then over time, they start adding up. And the adding up may not be in your favor or in anybody's favor. But the tactics used by the one evading is where we really need to be careful and approach it with love. Otherwise, we're going to get into a weird kind of fighting match of trying to prove and blame and scorekeep and do all those things that are the most unattractive, weirdest things you ever want to find yourself doing with someone you love. I always go back to the beginning of relationships when we have the most leeway before all these little goofball markers are set into place of how we're going to deal with each other when it comes to adversity. But ask questions about their past. Tell them about your past. Tell them how you've dealt with adversity before. Ask them in their breakups how they dealt with that, how they felt, where they went, what they did, what was your day like the next day? You know, I'm really sorry to hear that you guys broke up. Even though you're in interest, it's never fun to hear about anyone breaking up. Let them know what your intentions are in the beginning. Because a lot of times when you have these talks, we become accountable to those talks because that's our first impression. That's our strongest knowing of anybody. Those first few weeks, first few months, you have the time to ask so many questions, and the person's so willing to answer because they also want to know a lot about you. Did you want a solution? Did your partner want a solution? What kind of person are you when it comes after the argument? What do you usually do? Do you usually not want to talk? Do you usually talk? Do you usually feel good and say, hey, let's go out and get some ice cream, or let's go for a walk, or let's pop some popcorn and watch a movie? What happens after the argument? What kind of person is your partner? And ask yourself that, oh, I'm dating a person who, after they break up with somebody, never wants to see the person again. Oh, wow, so that means that I'm only good right now. And see, we never really think about that, but that sounds so weird, doesn't it? That, okay, well, if me and this man don't make it, or me and this woman don't make it, we'll just never see each other again. Even though that's most of the time what happens unless you live in the same area. But just knowing these things gives you both a baseline of understanding that person and how they deal with themselves. When they get mad, do they never talk about it again? Do they try to erase it and put it away? Or after you solve something, are you able to laugh about it? Like, oh my gosh, you should have seen your face. There's so many different ways to, I want to say, cushion the tougher parts of our lives. And when we don't take advantage of them and we think that life is only supposed to be one way, and that's my way or the highway, and I can't believe I just said that, but sometimes that's what it boils down to, even though that's not what somebody's saying to you. But there's this really interesting segue that I found that happens in this particular relationship. And I know when Christ says, if it happens to one, it happens to a million. So these million are farther and fewer between, probably spread out amongst our world. But when you're dating somebody who does things that aren't healthy for the relationship and won't admit, even when they're caught, and not caught like they're doing something so bad, but just not telling their partner the truth. Like, let's say they went to lunch with someone and it was of the opposite sex. And so they made a decision in their mind they did not want to tell the girlfriend. The fact that they made that decision is the problem, not the fact that they went to lunch with someone of the opposite sex. Because once they tell you or don't tell you and you find out and you say, hey, I remember that day and you actually lied to me about where you were. You didn't tell me who you went with that particular day. Oh, yeah, well, it was just an old friend. Oh, yeah, well, it was just someone I've known for so many years. Well, why didn't you tell me then? You tell me everybody else you go with. Why didn't you tell me that day? Well, are you accusing me of anything? Well, I'm not really accusing you. I'm just asking you a question because I happen to be your girlfriend or your wife. And I think I deserve an answer. Well, I don't know why you're getting so upset. Well, I'm not really upset. I'm asking you a question. Why would you not tell me that? And then instead of answering the question, they say, well, why don't you say something sooner? You've known for 2 or 3 days. We were with so-and-so 2 or 3 days ago. You've known. Oh, well, you know what? You didn't approach me very nicely. How about in the future, you know, you tell me how you feel, but you don't accuse me. Like, hey, that made me feel bad. And then they start telling you how to feel about how to approach them. And at the end of the day, you realize that he or she never answered the question. So the person, what happens is they step back. They didn't resolve the issue. What happens when we don't resolve an issue? We bring it up again. And we say, you know what? I know the other day you said to me that you want to know how I feel. You don't want me to accuse you. You wished I said something sooner. However, I still didn't get an answer, and I really would like one because it means a lot to me what we do when we're not together as much as it does what we do when we are together because we're together. And you realize that the other person doesn't want to account, doesn't want to tell the truth. They don't want to resolve the issue, but then they want everything to go back to normal very quickly. It's like the minute you're done talking about that, they turn on the switch. They go back to normal, and then they do it again. Because what happens is when they get away with not answering the question and you go back to normal with them, you've just opened yourself up to that happening over and over and over and over again. So first times that things happen, when you notice that you have not resolved an issue and the two of you cannot really resolve an issue, it gets thrown back at the person asking, you won't be there for long. You can't be there for long is really the truth. There's no way you can, because you will not resolve anything. This type of merry-go-round conversation that a couple can have, it doesn't solve anything. And when we don't solve as we go and things pile up, what happens is the burden becomes too heavy and you can no longer carry it. It has nothing to do with love. It has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that anyone, any, you know, Joe Schmo and Jane Doe cannot find a way to resolve. They don't have an aftermath of the argument. They just switch back to normal. You may wanted a solution. The partner did not want a solution. What do you do after that? Most of the time, when there is adversity in a relationship, somebody might say to the other, "Wow, honey, I'm really sorry you felt that way. God, I didn't know I affected you like that. I was an old friend, and I just thought that you might feel uneasy about it, but it really didn't mean anything to me." Well, if it didn't mean anything to you, why did you go? Why didn't you tell me? Don't you feel like you can tell me everything? Well, yeah, but in the past, my old girlfriends used to get really, really mad. Well, haven't we spent enough time and talked to each other enough to tell each other that? Well, I guess you're right, and I am so sorry. I will never do that again. And let me tell you about this woman, and I'll also tell her about you, because she's a coworker that I've known for more years than I've known anyone. That can solve the issue. That even sounds nice to say. That has enough love in it for the other person to have something to hold on to. But this witnessing of watching the partner of this person get told, "Well, why didn't you say something sooner? You've known for 2 days and you've held it for 2 days? Wow, boy, you notice everything. Oh, don't start stacking on everything else we've done. That's not fair. Let's just break every incident down to a separate incident. Oh, you know what? When you approached me, it sounded like you were accusing me. Well, this is how I need you to approach me in the future." And there goes an hour of talking that did not answer the question, but looked like the other person was cooperating. And honestly, they got to me, because in the beginning, the woman actually thought she was cooperating by listening to this merry-go-round that she got put on. But what happened to her is, after a while, she realized that every time this person does something, and they're doing quite a few things, she gets put on that merry-go-round, and it's his hand that's spinning the merry-go-round. And he knows he's doing it. And she didn't know, but she got wise to it. So when she got wise to it, he started becoming even more abrasive and more steadfast on his line of responding. And I basically said, if this is how you're going to solve adversity in your relationship, and it is not backed up with love, with understanding, not just panned, "I know how you feel, I'm sorry, it won't happen again," but why did you do it? Because that's the bigger question. What in you felt like you had to hide that from your partner, and your partner's over there giving it her all, and you're not? Because that question, if it's answered, will tell both people if the relationship means the same thing to both of them. Because someone can say things with their mouth, but if their actions don't coincide with what they're saying, the other person doesn't have a leg to stand on and can't solve anything. The poor woman was begging her partner, please just give me something to hold on to. And instead of saying to his partner, who now he'd been with for a while, wow, you really don't feel like you have anything to hold on to? I'm so sorry. How did we get this far? An emotional neglect of each other that you have to say to me, give me something to hold on to. Instead of saying that, which now has been being taught to speak in that way, said, wow, oh, great, that's your hook. Give me something to hold on to. Totally dismissed her. Didn't even know he was doing it. Because he was in such a self-protection mode and in such an insecure place that the only way he could handle what was the truth that was coming at him was to dismiss what she had to say. It was almost like he was talking about it as though someone else did it. So I had to have a talk, a very not easy talk to have with two people who are going back and forth, because these are the same arguments we will have with people outside of having a relationship. Because if that's the way we argue, that's the way we argue. If that's the way we find adversity and we face it, that's the way we do it. It's not like we change. But in a relationship, these things will show up because of the greater amount of time that the two people are facing with each other. But I had to have one of those, like, I felt like grandma sitting at the fireside having a talk. But I said, look, two of you know what's right and what's wrong in life, not just here, but in life. And the two of you can clearly see the game that is being played at this time, and it is a game, and there is no game based on truth. That's one of the first things Christ told me. So if you're going to play a game and it's not based on truth, where do you think this train is going to take you? And then the husband tried to joke about it. And I had to, like, reel him in and say, you know, your wife isn't joking right now. She was your girlfriend. She wasn't joking right now. When she was your friend, she's not joking right now. No matter what title she becomes to you or is to you, she is not joking right now. And the poor woman is just looking for a bone. And I felt like I had to be her voice, but also to teach her how to actually say these things without feeling like she's going to get in trouble or set aside or put to the corner. And it was so, I want to say weirdly gentle, but so delicate and fragile to her, that instead of thinking, you know, I could make decisions to pull myself out of this situation because it's obviously hurting me. It's affected my outer happiness. Now it's affecting my inner happiness. I don't feel like we're solving. I no longer trust this person. And she went as far as saying, I do not trust this man. And instead of seeing the red flag that that was, he said, oh, so now you don't trust me. And I was so proud of that moment because she said, you know what, you're right. I don't trust you. I did trust you when we met. I did listen to everything you said. I did believe you on every level. But somewhere, something in your behavior and in the way that you come at me, when you feel like you're in trouble, tells me that you don't trust me. Boy, did that flip the table. Because what do you say to that? That is such a solid truth. But when we face adversity with the truth, with love, with purity, I have people who might read my page or might have met me or might have read my book, and they see me and they want to like cut something up, especially in the beginning. Now it doesn't happen so much. And like they would question what I'd say in that, and I didn't have any need to fight them back. I would just say, it happened, I can't change it. Maybe I don't have a good way of describing it. I'm doing my best. But I really don't even have to talk about this. But I want to. I remember once I did a speaking engagement. It was a small one. It was in the beginning. And one of the guys that was sitting in there went out. Remember Don, who used to do the show with me? He went out to have a cigarette. And Don kind of was talking to him in the class. And they walked out together. And they were talking, and he goes, well, you know, people who write books, and they're rich, and they can't even relate to everyone else anymore, and whatever, whatever. And he just was like trying to dismiss me. But then Don said to him, do you know Nadia? Like, how do you know Nadia? What made you come here tonight? Well, I heard about her through someone, and I actually came with them. And they were like all excited about coming. He goes, yeah, she has some points, whatever. Like, you know, I'm getting this whole critique. And Don says, Nadia's not living behind a gated community or whatever. And for some reason, that made him feel better. That I was closer to someone he can relate to, because then he can listen. And when Don told me that, I was like, you know, that's my personal life. But I was like, that's okay. Tell away. Because it's the truth. And for some reason, because of what I talk about, and maybe that kind of affected my own psyche as well. But he told the truth. That was his truth. He needed to hear from someone he felt he can relate to. And he related to me ever since. And after that, every time I'd speak or whatever, if he was here or in town, he would come. But we all need to feel related to. When there's adversity, when there's an argument, when there's an issue, the person can't relate to us, can't see us. At the very least, with love, just acknowledge the fact that, you know what? I know we were really excited about having a relationship together. However, the fact that we don't know how to solve issues is going to be a huge issue. It already is. Because if we don't know how to do that and we're planning to spend our life, we're never going to get anything solved, and I'm going to have to deal with carrying all that weight, because that's what I'm doing right now. I'm carrying that weight, and it's not easy for me. I am not happy about it. When we can talk like that and not be scared of the consequences, when we can speak in that kind of truth, each and every one of us can solve anything in life. Like today just feels like this gentle little, by the way, conversation. But the truth will always, always, always win. And it's winning right now in this relationship. Works. You guys, I love you very much, and I will see you tomorrow on Dream Theme Thursday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Not.